Hello, Channel 9. Welcome to the first in a three-part series where we're going to be talking about the developer marketplace for Office and SharePoint. And this is sort of an introductory video where we're going to give you the overview and the vision. And here to give us all of that juicy information is Todd Hogan, Brian Jones, and Howard Crowe. Right? Well, first of all, let's get to know you guys. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit each about yourselves, maybe what products you've worked on, how you ended up here. We'll start with you, Brian.
Yeah, so I'm Brian Jones, a program manager on a team called the Office Solution Framework Team. So we own the platform for Office. I've been on Office for about 13 years. Worked on mainly developer technologies, file formats like the OpenXML file formats, things like VBA, HTML, things like that in Office.
Great. Howard?
My name is Howard Crowe. I am the GPM of the SharePoint Developer Experiences Team. I've been on SharePoint for 14 years now.
Wow.
Since the very beginning.
Love it.
Since before it was SharePoint, I guess. So I've worked on web parts and the framework and tagging categories and doc management and, well, pretty much everything in there. So.
Wow. Okay. And Todd?
Yeah, I'm the GPM for Microsoft Access, and I've been on SharePoint for 5 years now. I started as on the developer platform for SharePoint, and it was a logical extension to move over to Access as we're bringing Access into the SharePoint fold this release.
Cool. Well, let's start from the beginning here. What is an app for Office and SharePoint? Anyone can jump in.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, the three of us, like, this is by far the biggest thing that we've ever worked on around platform for Office. I think you have to go back to probably Office 97 and all the VBA work that we did to see something where it's this big of an investment. And for us, the way that we've thought of apps for Office is that really there's this huge set of people on Office today. There's a billion customers of Office.
Yeah, everyone I know.
Yeah, it's. I think that the stats
in one way or another, something.
It's like a copy of Office is sold every second.
Really?
So we have a huge ecosystem. Like the set of folks that are building solutions on top of SharePoint and Office is huge. There's over 700,000 developers already building on top of SharePoint. But one of the things that we noticed was that the life cycle around getting solutions out to customers, all the potential customers, was a little challenging. It was kind of hard for people to go and build an app and actually get them out to potential customers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made a huge investment this time around about building a store where people could go and submit apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, and then having a very easy acquisition so that a customer, not necessarily the IT guy, but actually just an end user, when they're trying to solve a problem, they can quickly go to the store, find the app that solves their problem, bring it into Office, bring it into SharePoint. If they want to pay for the app, they can go and pay for the app. We take care of all of that. And so we're making it much easier for developers to go and get their apps into customers' hands.
So essentially, you've got your own store, similar to how Windows Phone has a marketplace or Windows 8 for their applications. Is that basically the model?
That's right. It is a lot like how Windows Phone and Windows work. We actually use a lot of the same infrastructure that those teams use to run our store on as well, such as commerce and things like that. The real reason that we did this from SharePoint perspective was the move to the cloud. And so when we started moving things to the cloud, we wanted developers to be able to build and deploy solutions in the cloud without harming our infrastructure. And so we had to create new levels of isolation and do things like OAuth and new standards so that developers can publish into our system without damaging the framework that we have. This benefits IT as well, because now you can actually more easily deploy solutions into sort of those corporate IT environments where they're running large appliances, SharePoint appliances. So it turns out to pay off for both folks running on-premise and in the cloud.
Cool. And now you mentioned payoff. So developers can actually get paid now, right?
Yeah,
they can
absolutely
submit their apps and make big bucks off this?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, not just developers, even like the work that Todd's team has done has really made it so that anybody who has an idea for an app, even if they're not a traditional developer, can actually go and build what is an app for SharePoint.
Cool. And what are some of, you mentioned IT, what are some of the benefits to IT?
So what happens with apps is now you can write extensions that don't actually directly deploy into either the SharePoint or the Office infrastructure itself. And so it's much more secure in terms of the way that you can get at it. It's easier to upgrade your core, either the application, either the Office application or the SharePoint application, or the actual app itself. And so you can run the deployment and the lifecycle of those separately. So it's much more robust for IT, and they don't have to worry about people writing apps and destroying their infrastructure or bringing it down and downtime and things like that. So we think IT folks will love this new architecture that we're putting out there.
Very cool. And what about Office 365? What are some of the benefits for someone developing solutions for Office 365?
another great thing about Office 365 is that we've done a lot of work with the Visual Studio guys. And
great.
So now you can actually, we've got a new thing called Napa, which is a Visual Studio that's based, that's written in web technologies and runs inside SharePoint itself and Office 365. And so you can actually write apps inside of SharePoint itself. Also, Visual Studio itself can publish an F5 against the cloud, against Office 365.
Cool.
So this is a huge thing for us. You don't need to have SharePoint running on your dev box. You can actually just develop directly against Office 365 now. We call that remote development. Mm-hmm. Along with that, we've also created a new dev portal, dev.office.com, where you can go and get your own dev tenancy. So that's a great takeaway for folks from this, is go up to dev.office.com and actually get your own dev tenant for Office 365, and you can start playing today against the cloud.
Cool. Well, why don't we take a look at some demos here? Do you have something you guys
can
show us?
Yeah, we'll show a couple examples of apps for Office and apps for SharePoint.
Okay.
So I'm going to start here. I'm actually in Office 365 here. So you can see I've got this tenant that I set up, apps demo, mm-hmm. At SharePoint.com. And I've got a document library with a set of couple spreadsheets and a Word document here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and open up one of these spreadsheets. I've got this cost of living spreadsheet. And again, because of Office 365 right there in the browser, I'm able to see a preview of the spreadsheet that's using Excel services. And I can go and click on this edit button to edit right here. I can even go and open this up in the web companion if I want to and start editing it there. I'm going to open it up in the rich client instead.
Okay.
So I'm going to go and bring it up in Excel. And so this is just a basic set of data here. I've got a set of states and their cost of living index. And traditionally in Excel, I could do things like write formulas against this, maybe do some charting. But of course, a traditional chart probably wouldn't be that interesting here if I was going to do like a bar chart or something like that.
Right.
So what I'd rather do is go and find a new type of content that I can go and insert in the spreadsheet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and, just like I would do with a chart, I'm going to bring up the insert tab here. But rather than doing a picture or a chart, I'm going to click on this button, Apps for Office.
Cool.
So I'm going to click on the Apps for Office button. And now I've got a set of apps here that I can go and insert into my document. So I've got this Bing Maps app, for instance. There's a couple apps here like Metal Tracker and Bubbles. These apps all come from the Office Store. So I'm logged into Office. You'll see my name up in the top right there. And mm-hmm. so when I go and bring up the Apps for Office dialog, we're going to go and hit office.com and hit the store and find out what apps I've gone and acquired. If I paid for these apps, if I go to another machine and open up Excel again, as long as I'm logged into Excel and when I bring up this apps dialog, those same set of apps will show up. So again, to that whole idea of being more cloud ready, your apps roam with you, right? And you don't have to actually even install the app. All you have to do is log in and you'll get access to all of your apps. I'm going to go and insert this Bing Maps app. So this is an app that the Bing team worked on. And what it does is it behaves really similarly to how a chart would behave. The one key difference is rather than going and showing things on like a bar chart or a pie chart, it actually just goes and shows it on a map. So okay. I can go and select that same table of data there and click on this pins button. And what this Bing map is going to do is we expose a JavaScript API to the apps. And so the app is able to go and look at that table of data, create the binding of that table of data, and then it goes and draws all of those locations right there on the map for me.
Oh, cool.
Right? So it shows these little disks. The size of the disk is based on that second column. And this is just actually HTML and JavaScript that's running here inside of the Excel rich client. So again, this is just Bing Maps. So it's just using HTML and JavaScript to go and display this map. This is something that the Bing team was able to go and throw together really quickly because it's just using the existing technologies that they've already built. That's one of the things that Todd and Howard and I all viewed as one of the really important pieces of this platform was by betting on web standards, we've seen that people can go and take their existing technology, their existing services, and pipe them right through into Office and SharePoint, right? So they don't have to go and reinvent anything. They can go and leverage things that they've already built. The other key thing about this is I've inserted this app into the spreadsheet just like I would with a chart, and so it's now a part of the spreadsheet. And so I could go and save this spreadsheet and send it to you, mm-hmm. and when you open it up, you'll also see that app. So unlike any other app store that's out there, there's this very easy way of sharing apps, right? Apps for Office. I don't really know of an easy way to go and share an app that I get on my phone with my friends other than telling them through word of mouth.
Right.
Everybody knows how to share a document with people. You just go and email it to somebody, right? So there's this really nice distribution mechanism that's going to give developers a much more viral way of getting their apps out
Absolutely.
There and having people discovering them, right?
Right.
If this was an app that I'd paid for, like if I paid $5 for this and I sent it to you, you have the option of either paying for the app, or if you don't want to pay for it, you can just run it in a trial mode, and then it's up to the developer to decide what kind of experience they want. So it's this great way of getting your apps out there and having them spread quite quickly. The other thing I want to quickly go and show is some of the work that we did inside of Outlook for apps. So I'm going to go and bring up Outlook here. And I've got this email from Gareth that goes, and it's from Gareth to Richard and myself.
Okay.
And so one of the first things I can do is there's an app that the LinkedIn team worked with us on that they've gone and built that lets me quickly go and see my LinkedIn contacts, right? So there's Gareth. He was on the mail, and so I can really quickly go and drill into Gareth. I can find out who are the people that we have in common. If somebody was on this email thread that wasn't already in my LinkedIn profile, I could just go and add them right there.
Cool.
So it's a very easy way of going and acquiring new LinkedIn contacts. In fact, it ends up being kind of funny. It's super useful even with people that you work with because you learn more about them than you would have known otherwise. Like,
careful what you put on your profile.
Exactly. Like right. If they're looking for a job or something like that, which is always a little bit awkward. One of the other things to note, in this specific mail, there's an address here. Gareth was telling us where we were supposed to meet for some interviews. And so this Bing Maps app also pops up. And this one only shows up if there's an address inside of my mail. And so if I bring up this Bing Maps app, you'll see that the address gets highlighted right there. And so Bing Maps will come up really quickly.
Awesome.
And go and show me that location, right? And so one of the key things about the apps for Outlook is they can be much more contextual and fire based on what kind of content you have in your mail.
That's really handy. I like that.
In fact, one more example of that, I've got this email from Vivek that shows that cool Surface video that we had. And so it's just a link out to YouTube, and you see that the YouTube app shows up. So I could go and click on that and start playing that app right there in line inside the mail.
Wow.
So super powerful stuff. We're really excited about that. The other key thing I wanted to note around this before I hand off to Howard to start talking about some of the stuff in SharePoint is, again, because we took that bet on web standards, just HTML, JavaScript for how you do the client-side extensibility, these things are much more portable. So these same apps that I was showing you here in the Outlook Rich Client, I could go and open up in the Outlook Web Access too. So I could be on any device, I could go and hit Outlook Web Access, and all of these apps would still run. Same with the Excel apps, they would go and run in the Excel Web Companion as well. So there's this much, we've made this model much more portable so they can work across different platforms, which is super important, especially because so many of these apps are really part of your content. They're part of what you're trying to express when you're creating your documents.
Right.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say how awesome these look. And, you know, we are moving towards working on more smaller, mobile, portable devices, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great forethought. Yeah. All right. Howard, did you have some stuff you wanted to show us regarding SharePoint?
Yeah, let's just take a quick look at some of the things in SharePoint and how apps look and how users will use apps inside SharePoint. So one of the first things you'll notice is that you can actually see apps in the navigation bar, and you can also get at apps over here in some of the main buttons that come out of the box. Apps are really sort of a first-class object now inside SharePoint. Lists, libraries, calendars, all those things are actually now apps inside of SharePoint. And so you'll come in here and you'll see actually here's a set of apps that I can add to my site. You'll also notice that I can have apps that come from my company, in this case Contoso. And Todd will talk a little bit about what we call the corporate catalog in a second.
Okay.
And the other thing I can do is go out to the SharePoint store. And this is actually the same store that the Office apps are in, and we just filter them out so you can just see what you need to know in that context. So here I am inside the store, and I can go through here, I can page, I can search, I can do everything you do, ratings, rankings, all that kind of stuff that you'd expect. You'll also see I have some Access apps in here. And Todd will talk a little bit more about this, but you know, almost anybody can build an Access app these days and sort of publish it up to the store if they've got a great idea. So that's a great way to that we'll see a lot of apps inside the store. So I'll go in here and look at this Nintex app. Nintex is a longtime partner of SharePoint's. You can see here some screenshots of that and the ratings. I'll add it. When I go to add it, it's going to give me the OAuth dialog. This is sort of a familiar dialog to everybody that sort of says, hey, you're giving this app permissions to look at the content inside of your SharePoint site.
Yep.
Very much like, you know, Facebook and some of the other platforms out there today. So we use that same standard inside of SharePoint. And I'll add that into my site, and you'll see it starts to install. You'll see the install screen starts to come up here. What we're doing is actually creating a little web for it, a little actual SharePoint site that's the home of that app. And then it's already there. Nintex has had their service running for a number of years, and this is a great example of how they just took their existing thing, packaged up an app, and have it in SharePoint. We're not even sort of done with Office yet, and they've already got their app up there. It's that easy to take something that you already have and sort of package it up and get at the, you know, our billion users pretty easily. So here I am inside the Nintex app, which is going to open up, and we'll see the Nintex workflow designer, and this will enable you to actually build workflows inside of the system. Which is the good one? This one?
Left.
The designer workflow. There it is. Nice. And so here's the workflow designer running inside SharePoint. I can, for example, drag this send a mail and add that onto the into the workflow. And now when the workflow goes, it'll actually send me a mail and notify me when the document changes, which is pretty cool. The other thing you'll notice is that I can click on the back to site button here. We actually give you a set of components that you can use so the app can really be a part of the site. And so here I am back in the site using those controls that we make available to people. And so here you can see the workflow app shows up in the nav bar. The other thing I can do is go into the document library. It's project documents. That'll be good. So I can click on one of the docs here, and you'll see that Nintex, I click on the ribbon here, and Nintex has actually installed the button into the nav bar. They do that declaratively. You don't actually have to write code to do that. And so there's a lot of declarative places where you can insert code, and I can run my workflows from there, from inside the document. And so there's an example of an app that somebody built using their current technology, got into SharePoint, put a button in the ribbon, put something on the nav, and so really can get inside of SharePoint in a way that's unobtrusive. It's all declarative, so IT guys don't mind it so much because you're not actually putting code on their servers anymore. All the logic is running on Nintex's server.
Cool.
So that's kind of what an app looks like and how you get it inside of SharePoint. And Todd's going to talk a little bit about how IT guys can manage these things.
Yeah, one of the best things that happened this release across all three of our teams is the focus on the manageability part of it. Since the applications are running in Azure, not in 365, as Howard said, that really made the platform more secure. But it didn't make it more manageable, and so Howard's team really did a bunch of work to make it so that all application developers could go in and make their applications available and managed through the SharePoint corporate catalog.
Okay.
And so from within the corporate catalog, what you see here is a couple of apps that have been made available by their IT person for all employees in the corporation. In this particular case, there's an event calendar there. That's an Access application that IT put in place that helps departments plan their events and can manage their costs for those different events. So they're able to make the app in a very minimal amount of time. As both Brian and Howard have noted, the bar for building apps, Access really worked this release in bringing that bar down so that you can have IWs who understand their business to a great level of depth be able to open Access and build an app with minimal effort. We're talking half an hour type of time, and then make that application available through the store or through their corporate catalog to people that they work with or they want to sell to.
Yeah. That's awesome. So then some of the apps you said would be available externally to the public, but then you also have the option to just offer them to your company or select viewers.
Right.
Great. And then if people want to learn more about all of this, where can they go?
dev.office.com.
Great.
There's everything you need to get started. In fact, one of the things that we're doing for everybody that goes there is within 15 minutes you can be set up with a version of SharePoint, Exchange, and the rich clients all running up in the cloud to start developing on. So you can literally, from right now to 15 minutes from now, you'll have your first app up and running.
Awesome. Sounds great. And make sure to stay tuned to our following two more parts in this series. And thank you guys so much. Remember to hit up dev.office.com.